Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You made it. You made it. It's all done. The thoughtful gifts have been wrapped, the Christmas cards sent, the beautiful decorations hung, the scrumptious Christmas dinner is prepped and ready to go. You have done it. Great job. Now I look out there and I see some parents of young kids looking quite deflated. And I know what y'all are thinking. Christmas cards? Didn't happen. Thoughtful gifts? You're lucky they're wrapped and they just didn't get chucked under the tree. Decorations? Well, I could say that the elf is on the shelf. That's it. Christmas dinner? Oh, Lord, I forgot Christmas dinner. Chicken nuggets 2 years in a row. The shame of it. But listen, do not be hard on yourselves that your Christmas is not measuring up to Martha Stewart. Who likes her anyways, right? She's just a show-off. You have survived. To this point, let me assure you, you are in the home stretch. So just hang in there, young parents. Try to enjoy it, get a nap in, and lighten up on the schnapps. That's all I gotta say. The point is, it's all done. You are here. Let's take a deep breath and relax, at least for this moment. It would not be Christmas without coming to church, right? The beauty, the pageantry, the music, the brilliant preaching. Just soak it in. Because we are about to take a sharp left turn. Do you know what is the number one objection to Christianity? Any guesses? Any? John, it's not me. It's suffering and pain. Suffering and pain. People say, if there is a God, why does he allow suffering? I've had those conversations. It is an occupational hazard. As soon as people find out that you're a priest, they either clam up and check whether their wallet's been picked, or they start peppering you with the big questions of life. And it seems human suffering is a huge barrier for folks to believe in a loving, omnipotent God. And they do have a point, particularly at this time in history. Because the truth is, once you pull down the tinsel, once you turn off the colored lights, once you tell Alexa to stop the endless loop of Mariah Carey's Merry Christmas album, which, by the way, is the best Christmas album ever. Don't look so disgusted. I know you love Mariah too. But once you strip away all the contrivances of Christmas, the reality of the world breaks through. And I do not have to tell you, but the world is a dumpster fire right now. It just is. But it has always been a dumpster fire. As sophisticated and as advanced as we seem to get over time, we just can't stop using, abusing, and killing each other. And it's no wonder people are looking at Christians like us with our message of God is love and rolling their eyes like a 10-year-old who just got a pink bunny suit for Christmas. For Jilly, it must be Italian. Two references to the best Christmas movie ever. You see, for lots of folks, the idea of a God who made this world and allows suffering and pain drives them to become cynical atheists or cynical agnostics or just plain cynical. And they scream out in frustration, perhaps rage, God, if you do exist, why don't you do something? If you are love, if you are all powerful, if you care for us at all, why don't you show up, start knocking some heads and paddling some bare behinds? God, do something, would you? And that's why we're here tonight, right? Because looking back in time to the Nativity, we proclaim God has done something. He has broken into this fallen world in the person of Jesus Christ, become one of us, emptied himself of his divine nature to become truly human, to live and to suffer and to die just like us. Jesus, the light of the world, fully, completely, and truly experienced life as we experience it. And in the midst of it, lived a sinless life of grace, showing us the heart of God, showing us and teaching us how to be truly human. To love, not hate. To turn the other cheek, not trade punches. To bring healing, not hurt. Understanding, not conflict. Service, not selfishness. But I could still hear the voices of the cynics. Well, Terry, that's all good. But Jesus' example didn't change us, did it? We're still nasty, mean, vicious little creatures. Obviously, leading by example hasn't worked very well. And I say to that, perhaps. But we must remember that Jesus didn't live just to be a holy man teaching us and setting an example for how to be human. He did something more than that. And we point to the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus, God incarnate, perfect man, offered himself as a sacrifice on behalf of all humanity, including you. Jesus said, I will do something about sin and suffering and pain. I will take it upon myself. I will take the punishment for it upon myself so that you can be forgiven and restored to right relationship with the living God. Listen, if you want to know the story of God's deep love for us, look to the Nativity, God becoming one of us. Look to the cross, God dying for us. But the cynics raise their hands and say, so Terry, great. So, we're supposedly forgiven for our sins on the cross. Fine, I'll give you that. But death still reigns supreme. Death still has the last word. Death still gets all of us. In the immortal words of the comic Woody Allen, nobody gets out alive. And to that, we Christians, we point to the empty grave. This Jesus who lived like us and died as an innocent victim for our salvation rose from the dead in his physical body. The tomb was empty, and Jesus appeared to his friends and showed them his wounds. He said, Thomas, put your finger here. Touch me there. Can't you see I'm flesh and blood? It is in the resurrection body of Jesus, not the idea, but the actual body, that we know suffering does not win. Injustice does not win. Death does not win. In the bodily resurrection of Jesus, we see that love is triumphant. Hope is victorious, and life wins. Jesus rising from the dead is a pledge of new life for us. He is the first human being that went from life to death to new eternal life. He is the pioneer. He is the trailblazer. He is the perfecter of our faith. So in the face of suffering and pain and death of this world, we point to the Nativity. God become one of us. We point to the cross. God died for us. And we point to the empty tomb. God beat death for us. But we can't stop there. Finally, we look to the future with hope because Jesus promised us that he would return in triumph and power. to bring to a complete and final end to all sin, suffering, and death. What was accomplished through the nativity, the cross, and the empty tomb was completed and will be completed when Jesus returns. And God's eternal kingdom will be here in his restored creation. And we who have turned to Jesus and followed him in faith in this life will be ushered into eternal life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can I have an hallelujah? There you go. So we Christians, we point the world to the nativity. God become one of us. We point to the cross. God died for us. We point to the empty tomb. God beat death for us. And we point to the second coming. God is coming back for us. But once again, the cynic interrupts, raising their hand. Well, Terry, that is a brilliant defense of Christianity. And I say, thank you. Thank you very much. But they continue, and this is a big but, where is the evidence that all of that is true? Because I still see the world as a huge dumpster fire. And I would say the evidence is found in two places. One, it is found here, in this place, the bricks and mortar. The church, the physical church, stands in the midst of this fallen and broken world as an outpost of the eternal kingdom of God in the world. For 2,000 years, the church has stood through wars, plagues, persecutions, and famines, pointing to God's love for us, pointing to the nativity, the cross, the empty tomb, and the promise of Jesus' return. Nations, empires, institutions, kingdoms have risen and fallen over the last 2,000 years, and the church stands as a living witness, evidence to the truth of God and his unfathomable love for us. The second place where the evidence of God is found, again, is here. In you. In us. Your faith, your lives are evidence of God's love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his salvation. The evidence was deposited in you by the Holy Spirit when you turned to Jesus and said, I believe. When you surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, for 2,000 years, the evidence for the reality of God and the truth of his love for us has been lived out in people just like you and me, generation after generation after generation, keeping the light of Christ alive in the world. God has entrusted us, entrusted you, entrusted his church with this sacred mission to be living, breathing reflections of Jesus in the world, being beacons of light and hope. This actually is our highest calling as human beings. For it is the only thing that will not be destroyed by death and time. We spend our lives pursuing what will not last, and in the scheme of things, does not really matter. We were meant for more. We were meant for a nobler purpose. God is inviting us, each of us tonight, to reaffirm our faith, to go deeper in faith. He's calling us to a higher calling, to be like Mary, bearers of Christ for the world, because the world is desperate for love and hope. And the fullest expression of hope and love is Jesus. Amen. Merry Christmas to everyone.